Blood stains the pristine marble floors of London's most exclusive underground auction, and the bodies of untouchable billionaires lie in severed pieces. Genevieve thought her stepmother selling her to monstrous debt collectors was the end of her life. She didn't know it was the bloody beginning of her reign. To the outside world, the Carmichael family of Belgravia was the picture of fading aristocratic elegance when Arthur Carmichael passed away from a sudden, massive coronary society, mourned the loss of a brilliant real estate magnate. But behind the heavy oak doors of their six-story townhouse, the reality was far more sinister. Arthur had left behind crippling, invisible debts, and his second wife, Beatrice, was a woman who would gladly drown the world to keep her own chin above water. Genevieve Carmichael Arthur's only biological daughter became the scapegoat for her stepmother's financial sins, while Beatrice and her two daughters, Chloe and Madison, continued to parade through high society galas, wearing Oscar de la Renta and dripping in diamonds, Genevieve was relegated to the shadows. She was stripped of her inheritance through legal loopholes Beatrice's ruthless lawyers had exploited, forced to act as an unpaid servant in her own childhood home. But the debt Beatrice owed wasn't to a bank. It was to the Mercer Group, a shadowy private equity firm operating out of a brutalist skyscraper in Canary Wharf. Rumors in the city's financial district painted the Mercers as loan sharks for the ultra-rich. The truth, however, was something ripped straight from a nightmare. The Mercer Group didn't deal in fiat currency when a debt went unpaid. They dealt in flesh. They were a syndicate of the undead creatures of the night, masquerading as venture capitalists, feeding on the desperate and the destitute. Genevieve first noticed the strange men a week before her 21st birthday. They sat in blacked-out Range Rovers parked across from the townhouse. They were abnormally pale, their movements unnaturally fluid, their eyes hidden behind dark designer sunglasses, even in the dreary London rain. The betrayal happened on a Tuesday evening. Beatrice had uncharacteristically ordered the remaining household staff to leave for the night. She invited Genevieve into the formal dining room, a rare gesture that immediately sent a cold spike of dread down Genevieve's spine. Chloe and Madison sat at the table, refusing to make eye contact, nervously swirling their wine glasses. "Sit down, Genevieve," Beatrice commanded, her voice as brittle as dry ice. She pushed a teacup across the mahogany table. "Drink. You look exhausted." "What is going on, Beatrice?" Genevieve asked, refusing to touch the porcelain cup. "Why are the staff gone? Why are there three black cars idling in our driveway?" Beatrice sighed, adjusting her emerald necklace. "Your father, rest his foolish soul, borrowed heavily from Dominic Mercer. The grace period expired yesterday. They require payment. £5 million, or collateral of equal value." Genevieve's heart hammered against her ribs. "We don't have £5 million. You spent the last of the liquid assets on the villa in Monaco." "Exactly," Madison chimed in a cruel smirk, finally breaking through her nervousness. "Which is why Mother made a deal." The front door of the townhouse didn't just open, it was shattered off its reinforced steel hinges with a deafening crash. Genevieve leaped up, but her vision suddenly swam. The room tilted violently. She looked down at the tea. She hadn't drunk it, but the aroma, the vapor. It was laced with a potent airborne narcotic. Four men walked into the dining room. They wore impeccably tailored Savile Row suits, but that was where their humanity ended. The man leading them, Dominic Mercer, had eyes that were entirely obsidian, lacking any white. His skin was the color of alabaster, and when he smiled, his jaw unhinged slightly, revealing rows of needle-sharp fangs. Genevieve stumbled back, her legs turning to lead. What are you?" she gasped, clutching the edge of the table to keep from collapsing. "Collateral." Dominic purred his voice, layered with a vibrating, guttural frequency that made Genevieve's teeth ache. He tossed a thick leather folder onto the table. "The debt of the Carmichael estate is hereby settled, Beatrice. A rare, unblemished mortal of a pure bloodline. She will fetch a handsome price in the Surrey pens. Take her and get out," Beatrice said, her voice shaking slightly, though she didn't look back as Genevieve fell to her knees. "Please," Genevieve screamed, her voice slurring as the narcotic dragged her into darkness. "Chloe Madison, you can't do this." Her stepsisters simply looked away. Dominic Mercer stepped forward, moving faster than the human eye could track. His cold, marble-like hand wrapped around Genevieve's throat, effortlessly lifting her from the floor. "Sweet dreams, little bird," Dominic whispered, his freezing breath brushing her ear. "You belong to the monsters now." The world faded to pitch black. Genevieve awoke to the suffocating scent of copper, expensive cologne, and damp earth. Her head throbbed with a sickening rhythm. As her vision cleared, the horrific reality of her situation snapped into focus. She was locked inside a gilded wrought iron cage. She wasn't alone. Looking around, she realized she was in a sprawling subterranean ballroom that looked like it had been carved from the bedrock beneath a massive estate. Crystal chandeliers hung from vaulted stone ceilings, casting a dim golden glow over the opulent room. But the guests were the true terror. Dozens of the elite gathered around the center stage where Genevieve's cage sat. They were dressed in haute couture, Tom Ford tuxedos, Vera Wang gowns, but their faces were completely devoid of human warmth. They drank thick, dark, crimson liquid from crystal champagne flutes. The room was filled with a low, predatory hum. These were the predators of the hidden world, the apex monsters who pulled the strings of human society while treating humanity as cattle. Dominic Mercer stood on the auction block beside her cage, tapping a silver gavel against the bars. "Ladies and gentlemen of the night court," Dominic announced, his voice echoing through the cavernous space. "Tonight we offer a delicacy. Not a street urchin, not a desperate runaway, but pure aristocratic blood. Genevieve Carmichael, raised in the lap of luxury, 21 years of age, untouched and utterly abandoned by her own family." Laughter, cold and cruel, rippled through the crowd. Genevieve pressed herself against the back of the cage, trembling violently. She was going to die here. She was going to be drained dry by these creatures, and her stepfamily would continue living their lavish lives, completely unpunished. "We shall start the bidding at 2 million, Dominic declared, his obsidian eyes gleaming with greed. 3, a voice called out from the front row. 4, another hissed from the shadows. The bidding war escalated rapidly, the numbers flying around the room, meaningless to the monstrous billionaires who viewed her as nothing more than an exotic vintage of wine. Genevieve closed her eyes, tears spilling hot and fast down her cheeks. "I won't let them," she thought, frantically looking for anything sharp, any way to end it herself before they could take her. 10 million. The voice did not shout. It did not echo. Yet it sliced through the clamor of the ballroom like a scythe through wheat. The entire room fell into an immediate suffocating silence. The predatory hum stopped. The monsters in the crowd visibly shrank back, creating a wide path down the center of the ballroom. From the shadows of the grand arched entryway emerged a man who seemed to swallow the light around him. He was tall, dressed in a bespoke, charcoal three-piece suit that clung to a lethally muscled frame. His dark hair was impeccably styled, and his cheekbones were sharp enough to cut glass. But it was his eyes that froze the blood in Genevieve's veins. They were a piercing, vibrant crimson, glowing with an ancient, suppressed violence. This was Nathaniel Croft. To the human world, Nathaniel Croft was a reclusive tech billionaire and philanthropist. To the monsters in this room, he was a god. He was the sovereign of the Night Court, the Vampire King, whose lineage stretched back to the fall of Rome. And he never ever attended flesh auctions. Dominic Mercer swallowed hard, the arrogant smirk melting off his pale face. My liege. We did not expect you. I am honored. I bid 10 million. Nathaniel repeated his voice, smooth as velvet, but heavy with an underlying, terrifying pressure. He walked slowly toward the stage, his black Oxford shoes making absolutely no sound on the stone floor. Are there any opposing bids? The silence was absolute. The vampires in the room wouldn't dare breathe, let alone bid against the sovereign. Nathaniel stopped at the base of the stage, his glowing crimson eyes locking on to Genevieve. For a second, the ancient violence in his gaze softened, replaced by a possessive, burning intensity that made Genevieve's breath hitch. Sold, Dominic stuttered, forcing a bow, to the sovereign. If you will just sign the ledger. I didn't bring money, Mercer, Nathaniel said, softly stepping up onto the stage. Dominic frowned, confusion momentarily overriding his fear. My king, I don't understand. The bid was 10 million, Nathaniel interrupted. But I don't pay syndicate bottom feeders who traffic in stolen brides. Before Dominic could register the word brides, Nathaniel moved. It wasn't just fast. It was a blur of absolute, catastrophic violence. Nathaniel's hand shot out, plunging straight through Dominic Mercer's chest, shattering his ribcage like dry twigs. Dominic gasped, black blood spraying from his mouth as Nathaniel ripped his hand back, holding Dominic's still beating, blackened heart. With a casual flick of his wrist, Nathaniel crushed the organ into ash and pulp. Dominic's body crumbled to the floor instantly, disintegrating into a pile of gray dust. The ballroom erupted into chaos. Mercer's syndicate guards roared, drawing silver-plated blades and rushing the stage. Nathaniel didn't even draw a weapon. He became a force of nature. He grabbed the nearest guard by the throat and ripped his head from his shoulders in one fluid motion, tossing it into the crowd. He spun, catching another guard's arm, snapping the limb backward, before driving his polished shoe through the vampire's kneecap. The sound of snapping bones and tearing flesh echoed over the screams of the elite attendees who were desperately trying to flee the room. But the heavy iron doors of the ballroom had slammed shut. They were sealed. None of you leave, Nathaniel's voice commanded, echoing with a dark supernatural power that forced every vampire in the room to their knees. The remaining guards dropped their weapons, paralyzed by the sheer dominance of the king's aura. Nathaniel stood amidst the ash and blood of his enemies, completely unruffled. He pulled a pristine white silk handkerchief from his pocket, methodically wiping the black blood from his hands. He then turned his attention back to the cage. With a bare hand, he grasped the iron lock of the cage. The metal groaned and warped under his terrifying grip until the lock shattered. He swung the door open and stepped inside, kneeling down before the trembling, terrified Genevieve. He reached out his hand, hovering just inches from her tear-stained cheek. His crimson eyes searched hers, reading the terror, the confusion, and the exhaustion. Do not fear me, Genevieve, Nathaniel murmured, his tone shifting from a weapon of mass destruction to a soothing, protective embrace. How do you know my name? She whispered, unable to pull her gaze away from his mesmerizing eyes. What are you going to do to me? I know your name because I have been searching for you for over a century, Nathaniel replied gently, lifting her into his arms as if she weighed nothing at all. He held her tightly against his chest, shielding her from the gore of the ballroom. And what I am going to do, my queen, is take you home, And then I am going to pay a very special visit to your stepmother. The transition from the blood-soaked subterranean auction to the absolute pinnacle of safety was a blur to Genevieve. She remembered the sheer, terrifying force of Nathaniel Croft carrying her through a sea of kneeling, paralyzed predators. She remembered the cold London night air hitting her face and the sleek, matte black silhouette of a customized Sikorsky helicopter waiting on a private helipad near the Thames. Most of all, she remembered the steady, impossibly calm rhythm of Nathaniel's chest beneath her cheek. He did not have a heartbeat in the human sense, but a deep thrumming resonance of ancient power that lulled her exhausted mind into a deep, dreamless sleep. When Genevieve finally opened her eyes, the oppressive dampness of the Mercer cage was gone. Sunlight, warm and golden, streamed through floor-to-ceiling bulletproof windows. She was lying in the center of a massive, king-sized bed, covered in Egyptian cotton linens, nestled within a sprawling master suite that looked like it belonged on the top floor of a 7-star hotel. She pushed herself up her heart, doing a frantic stutter step as she took in her surroundings. The room was a masterclass in modern minimalist luxury, accented with priceless antiquities. A genuine Renaissance tapestry hung on one wall, while a massive state-of-the-art holographic interface flickered silently on a glass desk across the room. She was wearing a perfectly tailored silk nightgown that hadn't been on her when she was taken. "I had my personal staff attend to you, female, human, and entirely discreet," a voice said. Genevieve gasped, clutching the duvet to her chest. Nathaniel sat in a high-backed leather armchair in the corner of the room, partially concealed by the shadows. He had discarded the blood-splattered suit jacket and was now wearing a crisp white dress shirt, the sleeves rolled up to reveal forearms corded with lean muscle. In the daylight, his eyes were no longer glowing crimson, but a striking deep shade of violet. "Where am I?" she asked, her voice raspy. "You are in my private estate in the Scottish Highlands, the Dunrobin Sanctuary," Nathaniel replied, standing up. He moved with that same terrifying grace, completely silent, until he stood at the foot of the bed. "You are safe here, Genevieve. No syndicate, no debt collector, and certainly no mortal will ever lay a hand on you again. You have my word as sovereign." Genevieve swallowed hard, the memories of the auction crashing over her. The fangs, the gray ash that used to be a billionaire. You killed him. Dominic Mercer. You ripped his heart out."
"I did,"
Nathaniel said, his expression completely devoid of remorse. "And I would do it 1,000 times over for the insult of locking you in a cage. You asked me last night how I knew your name, why I said I had been searching for you." "Yes," she whispered, pulling her knees to her chest. "I don't understand any of this. I'm just the forgotten daughter of a bankrupt real estate developer. Why would a king want me?" Nathaniel sat on the edge of the bed. Up close, his beauty was devastating, almost painful to look at. He reached into his pocket and withdrew a small, worn leather journal. The initials stamped into the cover were CC. "Your mother, Catherine Carmichael, was not just a socialite," Nathaniel began softly. "She was the last living descendant of the House of Valois, a mortal bloodline that signed the original accords with the Night Court in the 15th century. For generations, my kind and the Valois women were intrinsically linked. You possess a genetic marker, a pure resonance in your blood that makes you the only mortal capable of reigning beside the sovereign without losing your humanity to the transformation." Genevieve stared at him, her mind struggling to process the impossible information. "My mother died in a car accident when I was 3. "It was no accident," Nathaniel corrected, his jaw tightening. "It was an assassination, orchestrated by factions within my own court who did not want to see a mortal queen upon the throne. They wiped out the Valois line. Or so they thought. Catherine managed to hide you in plain sight, living a quiet life with Arthur Carmichael. When she was killed, the trail went cold. I have spent the last 18 years tearing this world apart looking for you. Tears pricked Genevieve's eyes. Her entire life had been a lie. Her mother hadn't abandoned her to the cruelty of the world. She had died protecting her. Beatrice. Genevieve suddenly gasped, a sickening realization dawning on her. My stepmother. She always hated me. But the way she looked at me last night. It wasn't just about the money. Nathaniel's eyes darkened, the violet bleeding back into a dangerous crimson. Indeed. My intelligence network decrypted Beatrice's private communications this morning. She discovered your mother's lineage 6 months ago in a hidden safe deposit box at Barclays. Beatrice realized that upon your 21st birthday, a trust established by the Valois estate would automatically transfer to you a fortune that dwarfs the GDP of most European nations. Genevieve felt all the air leave her lungs. She sold me to the monsters not to pay my father's debt, but to get rid of me before I inherited. She made a deal with Mercer. Nathaniel confirmed, his voice dropping to a lethal, icy whisper. He forgives Arthur's debts, and in exchange, he gets the ultimate prize to auction off, while Beatrice steals your inheritance and claims you ran away. Genevieve looked down at her hands. For years, she had taken the abuse. She had scrubbed floors, worn her stepsister's discarded clothing, and swallowed the bitter pill of her own worthlessness, while Beatrice and her daughters lived like royalty on her father's dime. But this was unforgivable. They had orchestrated her murder for greed. A new, unfamiliar sensation began to bloom in Genevieve's chest. It wasn't fear anymore, it was fury. Pure, white-hot, righteous fury. She looked up, meeting the Vampire King's gaze without flinching. You said you were going to pay a special visit to my stepmother. Nathaniel smiled a terrifying, beautiful expression that promised absolute ruin. He reached out gently, tucking a stray lock of hair behind her ear. I am. But this is your life, Genevieve. This is your kingdom now. I will not deny you the pleasure of watching the ashes fall. Will you accompany me back to London? Genevieve didn't hesitate. Yes. Back in Belgravia, the Carmichael townhouse was alive with the sound of clinking crystal and booming classical music. Beatrice had spared no expense. She had ordered a case of Dom Perignon vintage champagne, and the formal dining room was scattered with legal documents, luxury travel brochures, and diamond jewelry. Chloe and Madison were giggling on the velvet sofa, swiping through high-end real estate listings in Dubai on an iPad. I still can't believe it actually worked, Mother. Chloe laughed, taking a long sip of her champagne. The lawyers said the Valois Trust clears probate tomorrow morning. We are officially billionaires, and we never have to look at Genevieve's miserable, mopey face ever again. Beatrice stood at the head of the table, admiring her reflection in a silver platter. She looked triumphant. The girl was always a parasite. I merely did what her foolish father could never do. I cut the dead weight. Mercer's people are efficient. By now she's likely locked away in some foreign palace, serving as a blood bag for a sickly aristocrat. A fitting end. Do you think they really drink blood? Madison shuddered, though a cruel smile played on her lips. Gross. Who cares what they do? Beatrice sneered. We are free. We are rich. And tomorrow we leave this damp, miserable city forever. The sudden drop in temperature was so severe that the breath plumed from Beatrice's lips in a white cloud. The heavy mahogany doors of the dining room didn't just open. They were ripped from their iron hinges, flying across the room and smashing the crystal chandelier into a thousand glittering pieces. Chloe and Madison screamed, dropping their glasses, as the room plunged into an eerie, supernatural twilight. The classical music abruptly distorted and died. Through the ruined doorway stepped Nathaniel Croft. He was wearing a bespoke black suit, looking every inch the apex predator he was. The air around him practically vibrated with a dark, suffocating pressure that forced the three women to their knees against their will. But it wasn't the vampire king that made Beatrice's heart stop. Stepping out from behind Nathaniel's formidable silhouette was Genevieve. But she was no longer the frightened, downtrodden servant they had betrayed yesterday. She was adorned in a breathtaking, custom-made Alexander McQueen gown of midnight blue silk. Around her neck rested a flawless 20-carat diamond choker, the royal crest of the House of Valois. Her posture was flawless, her gaze colder than the winter sea. Genevieve! Beatrice gasped, her face draining of all color. No. No, that's impossible. Mercer took you. You were sold. Mercer is dead, Genevieve said, her voice steady and ringing with an authority she had never known she possessed. She walked slowly into the room, her designer heels clicking rhythmically against the hardwood floor. He was turned to ash before my eyes. And as for my being sold, Beatrice, it seems you undervalued me. Nathaniel moved, crossing the large room in a fraction of a second. He appeared directly behind Beatrice, his hands resting lightly on the back of her chair. The sheer proximity to the king made Beatrice sob in terror. You brokered a deal with a rogue syndicate, Beatrice Carmichael. Nathaniel purred, his voice a lethal caress. You trafficked my queen. You attempted to steal an inheritance sanctioned by the Night Court itself. Under the ancient accords, the penalty for high treason against the crown is absolute eradication. Please! Beatrice shrieked, tears ruining her expensive makeup. She groveled, pressing her forehead to the floor. I didn't know, I swear, I didn't know she belonged to you. Take the money. Take the Valois Trust. Take the townhouse. Take everything. I already have everything, Nathaniel replied coldly. Take them, Beatrice screamed, suddenly pointing a shaking finger at her own daughters who were cowering in the corner. Take Chloe and Madison. They are young. They are beautiful. Use them, sell them, drain them. Just spare me, please spare me. Chloe and Madison shrieked in horror, staring at their mother with absolute betrayal. Mother, how could you? Madison cried. Genevieve looked down at the pathetic display. Beatrice, the woman who had tormented her for a decade, who had treated her like vermin, was now offering her own flesh and blood to save her skin. It was sickening. You truly are a monster, Beatrice, Genevieve said softly. Far worse than the creatures you sold me to. She turned to Nathaniel. The vampire king looked at her, entirely submissive to her command. He was a weapon of mass destruction, waiting only for her word to strike. What is your decree, my queen? Nathaniel asked, the reverence in his tone echoing through the silent room. Genevieve looked at the stepsisters who had mocked her, and the stepmother who had tried to erase her. Strip them of every penny. Burn the offshore accounts, liquidate the assets, and ensure they are blacklisted from every financial institution on Earth. And then, Genevieve's eyes narrowed, leave them to the mercies of the human world they worship so much. Let them see what it feels like to be truly destitute. Nathaniel smiled a terrifying show of fangs. A fate worse than death for their kind. But what of the treason? A blood debt must be paid, Genevieve. Genevieve looked at Beatrice, whose eyes were wide with animalistic panic. You wanted to trade in blood, Beatrice, Genevieve whispered. Then pay the toll. Nathaniel didn't hesitate. He moved with a brutal, blinding speed. He didn't kill them, death was too quick a release. Instead, he gripped Beatrice's wrist, his razor-sharp fangs extending as he bit down, not to drain, but to infect. He injected a microscopic drop of his venom, not enough to turn her, but enough to curse her. Beatrice screamed in agony as the venom burned through her veins, a localized fire that would never fully extinguish. He repeated the swift, brutal punishment on Chloe and Madison, their screams harmonizing in a choir of absolute retribution. "The venom will ensure you never sleep soundly again," Nathaniel declared, standing tall over the weeping, writhing women. "You will feel the phantom flames of the king's judgment for the rest of your miserable mortal lives, and if you ever speak Genevieve's name again, I will return and I will not be so merciful." Nathaniel turned away from the carnage, offering his arm to Genevieve. She took it, feeling a profound, undeniable sense of peace. The townhouse, once a prison of memories and abuse, now felt like nothing more than an empty shell. She had reclaimed her life, her legacy, and her future. As they walked out into the London night, leaving the sobbing ruins of the Carmichael family behind, Nathaniel pulled Genevieve close, wrapping his dark protective coat around her shoulders. "Are you ready to go home, my queen?" he asked, his violet eyes glowing with eternal devotion. Genevieve leaned into the vampire king, smiling for the first time in years. "Lead the way. Did you love the dark twists and brutal revenge in this vampire romance? Let us know in the comments if you think Beatrice and her cruel daughters got what they deserved, or if the vampire king should have been even more ruthless. If you want to hear more thrilling, heart-pounding, supernatural stories of forbidden love and ultimate vengeance, hit that like button, share this video with your friends, and subscribe to the channel right now, so you never miss a new story.